Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
News Radio 930 WBEN. It's Tom Bowerly and David Bellavia. It's Bowerly and Bellavia on News Radio 930 WBEN.
David, we're talking about DNA right now, and for what reason would we possibly be talking about DNA?
Well, we heard from Elizabeth Warren. She was, well before Donald Trump. He, of course, made it famous. But Elizabeth Warren has been making, for years, talked about her Native American ancestry. And a lot of people questioned whether or not that was even true. Well, she finally, many people believe this is a prelude to her running for president in 2020, she released her DNA results, and she is, in fact, 1/500th Native American.
Wow.
So that made us talk, and we thought to ourselves, DNA, what do you think about DNA? We talk about finding out our heritage, but what happens when other things connected to DNA get involved, and what are the ripples that causes? I mean, you find out that you're what you thought were your parents aren't your actual parents, or your father, whatever the case may be. It could affect your life, and it's sometimes, in an effort to find out information, a lot of people get hurt because, well, they're lying and they're holding secrets.
803-0930 is the phone number, *930 on the cell phone, 1-800-616-WBEN. Later on, they claim Buffalo is the friendliest city in the country. Agree or disagree? And what is the most unfriendly city you have ever visited? Or should we just say Boston, Massachusetts by default?
That's right.
Let's get back to the calls on WBEN, the DNA issue. We've got a couple of Johns on the line. It's John Radio. John in Tonawanda, you're on WBEN.
Hey, good afternoon, guys. I got to say I had probably a positive experience about the whole thing. I already knew that I was adopted. My mom always made sure that both my sister and I knew that from the time we were little kids. So I had a great life, no real great desire to go beyond that. But my kids, when they became adults, were more interested in finding out they got cousins and all this other stuff. Went through Ancestry.com, had a super hit right off the top with a first cousin. This first cousin was totally involved in Ancestry and doing family tree stuff. So after several conversations with him, he put me in contact with my brother and sister, talked to them several times, and we just had a huge family reunion about a year ago and had a great time. Very accepting family. Everybody was full of stories. It just turned out to be great. I'm in contact with my brother often. But the problem is they're down in New York City area. We're up here in Western New York. The distance just presents a problem. So
there were no negatives at all?
Not at all, really. It was all very, very curious, very interesting. Everybody had their own lives, but just the whole fact of, hey, out of the blue, we got another cousin, or wait, I got a brother. Where did this come from? So
that's pretty amazing stuff.
Yeah, it was. It was. And we're also on the hunt for, looks like my dad really was from Pittsburgh. And my daughter has met with the cousins that we hit on through Ancestry.com again. And they're very accepting, too, of like, hey, this is great. Let's get together. So, I got to say it's a positive experience all the way around.
All right. Well, good to hear a positive experience. Thank you very much.
That seems to be few and far between.
Well, that might be evidenced by our next call. This is John in North Tonawanda. You're on WBEN.
Hi. How are you guys doing tonight?
Well, we get three highs out of you. That's good.
Yeah. No, I'm thrilled. This is not going to be a downer, but I want to tell you it's a double-edged sword because my high school sweetheart and me got together, and long story short, she got pregnant. I ended up being a dad, as far as I'm concerned, for 20 months. And then the state of Nevada dove in and says, you got to pay us all back the money that we paid her out for her support. Plus, you're going to have to pay for this kid until he's who knows how long.
21.
Like,
if he's a full-time college student, 21.
I considered him my son. I just assumed he was. Long story short, I said, you got to prove it. There's got to be something. There was a new thing called DNA testing back then. And they made the test, and they said 13 of the 14 markers say that you are absolutely not the dad of this kid.
Oh!
Wow.
And I had, you know, he was my kid for 20 months.
But, John, I mean, okay, there's got to be a bevy of emotions because, on the one hand, financially, you are off the hook.
Young, and I bugged. I said, Gene, I'm angry, sad, and everything else.
I'm sorry I interrupted you. There was a gap there, so I thought I'd ask a question. Let me try that one again. Let me try it again, please. So, on the one hand, it had to be heartbreaking because you thought that this kid was your kid and you treated the kid as such. On the other hand, it must have been a tremendous relief because financially you're off the hook.
Yeah, they were going to hit me for like, this is back in like 91, $530 a month.
That's all?
What was the thought process? Were you just doing a Hail Mary or did you actually have some inkling that this couldn't be your child?
Yes, I had an inkling.
And was it just that when you looked at the kid, did you think, that's...
No. Well, no, actually, no. It was just for his mother. I knew she was my high school girlfriend.
Right.
For a little while. And then, you know...
How many years after high school was it you hooked up?
Let's see. 82, we connected. I blew out there in 86. And things went on from there.
So do you think that she was just trying to scam you because, you know, you've got maybe you've got a good job, you've got a good income, and she was looking to basically steal from you for the next 21 years?
Oh, no, she didn't know, and she was just hoping that it was mine. So that we, because I'm a great guy. I'm a gullible, you know, you can just step on my neck and say, yeah, it's okay. That kind of thing. But I also started making great money because I was working through the operating engineers union and started generating. And we were living good. Long story short, it's like, you know what? After all we had been through, it's like, hey, I gotta go. I'm going to Laughlin. I don't know where you're going. You're in Section 8 housing. I got to go. I feel bad for the kid, but now that I... You know what?
Have you tried to, like, you know, maybe check up on the kid, see how the kid's doing?
Well, you know what the thing weirded me out was? She bugged out of town. We're in Vegas. We're at Palos Verdes and something like that. And the long story short was her husband, or this guy, died. Hmm. So she just blasted off. I had no way of contacting her after that. Gone.
Well, I suspect she was trying to scam you. I mean, I've heard stories about there are some women out there who will tell a guy that a kid is their kid, and they know damn well it isn't, but it just so happens that the guy they've slept with one night happens to make a good amount of money.
Well,
and they're just hoping to cash in on the gravy train.
All right. Well, she's kind of likes the girl. She's the girl that likes a full fridge, a car to drive. She doesn't mind doing the things that makes a guy happy. Long as she's got a good place to live. Well, long story short, she's back on Grand Island where we grew up. I'm an NT, and we're both worried about the kids. Worried about Robert. We're worried about, you know what I mean? We're getting older now. It's kind of like, you know what? Actually, let's just plug in. Let's forget that craziness. And
good for you. That's a good attitude to have, man.
We have stories to tell. Your kids are not going to accept you right away. But you know what? It's starting to happen because they're becoming adults now.
Wait, did you marry her?
We've known each other since 81, and I gave her a ring, and I said, let's get married. Guess what? She says, the ring fell down the drain in the sink.
Pawned it.
Well, if you hadn't done so much cocaine and your fingers hadn't shrunk up and you hadn't gotten down to 88 pounds.
Well, allegedly.
Well, let's not blame cocaine for everything.
I you know what? That's what I say, too. Believe me, it was not a very great ring.
Well, but to me, it sounds like somebody, I mean, and the fact that now that you've introduced cocaine into the picture, it seems to me that she probably pawned the ring you gave her to get money so she could get an eight ball.
You know, no, she's not an eight ball. She was getting together with people that would get eight balls. You know, the 80s were crazy. 80s were hard.
I missed out on that part of the 80s, and somehow I don't think I missed out on much.
You're my age.
Yeah, like I said, I missed out on the fun.
Yep, and we were Grand Island weirdos.
All right, bro, thanks for the call. Glad you got it sorted out.
I hope I entertained you.
Well, but you know what? I feel bad for the kid. I feel bad for Robert, but I'm glad that you guys were able to bury the hatchet, and I still think that she was trying to use you, and I would be very careful of her in any further dealings because, sorry, once a gold digger, always a gold digger.
You know, yeah, but when you're 21 and you're stupid to begin with, I mean, she was the kind of girl that was in special ed classes in high school. You know what I mean?
That doesn't make somebody stupid. Now, we have a lot of people listening right now who have kids in special ed classes, and they're going to be very upset with what you just said.
You know, she's a savant. She actually, in a way, she's a genius, and it's kind of like, that's why I can't stay away from her. There's something, she's just, there's something about her that's like, oh, my God, what is it with this girl?
Well, then we get back to the 80s and the wild times.
Well, get back to the topic of your son.
All right, we shall do so. So, you know, give her a hug and give her a deviated or perforated septum a kiss for us, too.
Gene, I love you.
All right, thank you. Call of the day so far.
I don't know. That was, that's a great, you want to hang out with that guy.
Here is Lynn on WBEN. Lynn, you've got a DNA test story.
Yes. So I did my DNA, and so did my husband, and he found out he had a half-brother he never knew about. His mother had had him 9 years before him, 5 years before she met her husband. And when we looked him up on the Internet, he had died 30 days before taking the test. So we missed
That's horrible.
30 days, and he only lived in Amherst.
Mm.
So when my DNA came back, my sisters weren't interested. I got two older and one younger. But about 4 years later, I happened to have an extra kit. And when my sister was over, I said, you want to do it? And she finally said, yeah. And when the results came back, it turned out we were only half sisters. Now I'm almost 54 years old, and I thought my three sisters were my sisters, and it turned out not. So I called my mother, and she said, well, she said, your father was out of town and for about a month, and I hooked up with this guy at a St. Patrick's Day party, and apparently he's your father. Now, my mother didn't know because then my dad came home that weekend, and she was with him also. So she really didn't know whose kid I was. I assumed she figured it was her husband. But while I was talking to her, she said, well, what about your younger sister? And I said, oh, my God, we got to worry about her, too. Turns out she's got a different father, too.
Well, at least you know everyone's Irish.
Well.
Is that?
Exactly.
Yeah, right.
So,
but you know something, though? I got to tell you. You are inheriting all of these decisions that, you know, your parents have made, poor choices, whatever the situations happen. But now you're in a position at the age that you're at right now. You've lived your life. I'm sure you've done things that you would probably want a second chance at. Do you look at them and at least have a little bit of respect for, you know, they tried to make the best out of a really bad?
Well, here's the situation. I said to my mother, thank you for keeping the family together. You raised all four of us as sisters with one father. We had a perfect life. We had a lovely childhood. You know, we grew up as sisters, all fine, well, and good. When my other sister, I had to tell her, she said, well, who's my father? And I said, well, my mom only remembers his first name and where he's from. So it took me another 9 months of tracking him down through DNA results, and I contacted a guy who I thought might be him, and I said, either it's you or the father who took off on you had a kid and you have a half-brother you don't know about. So he agreed to do the test, and it turns out he was the father. But my sister was mad at my mother because she didn't know the guy's name, and she figured she'd never know who she was. And she said, well, Dad, you just used Dad to, you know, support your children, blah, blah, blah. So I had a totally different perspective because I've been into genealogy for over 20 years, and I'm a parent.
Mm.
Sister's not a parent. So she's looking at it from, you know, a mother-child relationship where she doesn't have any.
Well, you felt, I mean, Lynn, I can only imagine the sense of betrayal you felt at the mouth, basically, of your own mother.
Yes and no, but, you know, now that I'm 54 and I've seen my mother through the years and, you know, my parents eventually divorced and I know she cheated on him later in the years, and I know that they just weren't meant to be together, and I think they both understood that. And so once the kids were grown and out of the house, they divorced. So I understand my mother is who she is, and that's that. You know, I accept her for that. And yes, she, you know, kind of put our life in a whirlwind, but you know, who's going to, at 76, you're not going to tell people if you don't have to.
No, right.
Well, at least she was alive, and at least she did own what she did. Thank you very much, Lynn, for the phone call.
Sure. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. This absolutely fascinating stuff, David. It is coming up on 427. Fascinating. Simply fascinating. Oh, DNA testing. Elizabeth Warren in the eye of a hurricane. Let's see. Somebody just wrote us, Bowerly. We have a cabin in the southern tier and want to know about the weather in that area, especially since we're planning to go down on Wednesday. So, depending on the weather, give the detailed southern tier weather reports. You know, call me stupid, but if I was in your position and I had a cabin in the southern tier and I wanted the full weather reports, I would probably, instead of picking up the phone to send a 3-paragraph text, I would probably go to the WBEN.com website, and you can read the whole, you can fap to the forecast for the southern tier if you're so inclined, okay? I'm just saying. But this radio station, I mean, 99.99% of our listeners are going to be right around the Buffalo, New York area and the First Ring suburbs, okay? Not down in Wellsville or the Southern Tier. And I'm sorry, but I can't spend 5 minutes on Southern Tier weather every time I do the weather, or there's not going to be any content for the show. So if it's that important to you, you know, like when I'm traveling, I don't rely on WBEN to give me the forecast for Charleston. Okay, I don't rely, you know, if I'm going to Hilton Head next week, I have no idea what the weather's going to be like, and I don't expect it on WBEN.
Wait, we just got a breaking report from Travel Magazine. Because of Bowerly's antics, Buffalo is now the second most friendly city in all of America.
Well, come on, a weather forecast should not go 2 pages long.
Just took us right out of the rankings.
Oh, my God. I'm sorry. But no, pick up your phone. Go to WBEN.com and memorize the forecast if you want. It doesn't matter to me. It is 4:38 at News Radio 930 WBEN. The good, the bad, the ugly on DNA testing. And, David, are you a little bit shocked at all the surprise stories about, I thought somebody was my father. It turns out they weren't.
No, that's, look, I'm wondering this, and I mean this in all seriousness. I wonder if these stories are all before Roe v. Wade, right? And again, a lot of people will tell you, well, you know, it's embarrassing, the relationships are destroyed, and it's so easy to just eliminate it. It's so easy just to take care of that problem, and it goes away, and you don't have to worry about families, you don't have to worry about anything else. But let's be honest, we have all these people here that have lived quality lives and have impacted our society and helped us all out. And sometimes those decisions, as difficult as they were, I don't know. I tend to look at it as, I mean, it's got to be tough for the families once you find out the truth, but you get over it. You find out that nothing is that difficult, that you can't confront it and get beyond it. Sometimes you find out things about your parents that you wish weren't the case, but I guarantee you nobody is flawless. Everyone has secrets. Everyone's done stupid things. They might be magnified when you have 15 children.
Get a divorce.
But my point is that, you know, these DNA stories are going to go away after 1973. A lot of these stories won't be the case because people just, you know, went to a clinic and erased their error.
Oh, Michael, you are blind. It wasn't a miscarriage. It was an abortion, Michael. An abortion. Name the movie.
That's Godfather.
Godfather 2.
But my point is, I think that's, you know, I hate to stumble into, you know, a morality thing here, but as difficult and as painful as some of these revelations are, there's living people that have been around for 50 years that have done nothing wrong, and they didn't know how they came into this world, and they made the best out of their lives with what they had.
Well, let's get back to the calls and find out other people who have made the best with what they have had.
Just saying, I think there's a positive light to this.
Mom
and dad could have been the worst people in the world. They could have had, you know, children out of wedlock all over Haiti. Who knows, right? Everywhere they went, they had a child.
Jamaica.
Whatever it is. But the case is, those kids didn't do anything wrong. Those kids, they have a choice in this. And look at the lives that they've lived. They're calling into this program. They're holding down jobs. They have families of their own. Their lives are full of happiness and joy. And just because you come into this world inconveniently or embarrassingly, it doesn't mean that you should be erased.
Oh, well, I can't disagree with you there, because I mentioned earlier that I've done the paper trail, DNA. There are so many bastards in our family, it's not even funny. Like, in some of the records I've got, there's actually question marks or unknown written in German when it comes to the father. So I have absolutely no idea. And the DNA test will show you where you have living relatives who match enough of your markers to be significant. Mm. But, you know, it's not going to tell you in all likelihood the name of whoever was with your, you know, seventh great grandmother who was the question mark. It might help, but at this point, it's a little late in the game.
Tracking it down.
Let's go to Jim in Orchard Park. Jim, you've got a DNA horror story.
Well, actually, it's pretty funny. You guys are doing a great job, but everybody's coming up with sad things. This is a little funny. Basically, I'm Irish, Scotch, Welsh, English. If you're from Northern Europe, you're a mutt. The Vikings had blonde hair, blue eyes. They visited. My sister got her blood tested or DNA tested. She comes back like 80% Irish, 20% English, Scotch, Welsh. So my brother's wife gets hers tested because she always says she's Irish. She comes back like 60% English, 40% Irish in that mix. So my brother's laughing. He gets his tested. He comes back like 80% Irish, 18 or 19% the mixed English, Scotch, Welsh, and 1 or 2% Nigerian. Like, there's five kids in there. If you're 1 or 2% Nigerian, I'm a little skeptic of the DNA standards. You know, the Spanish Armada. My mother was, like, in the summer, would be very dark. You know, or just be happy with yourself. You know, my brother said, well, man, if I'd have known that, I could have, like, flipped this down and got, like, job points or Yomi or a promotional exam. You know, flip the trump card. You got a paperwork for 2% Nigerian.
Why do you think that's a mistake? Because, you know, one of the things that I've learned from all of my Sicilian friends is, and this is, there's no easy way to sugarcoat this, so I'm just going to tell you the way I hear it from some of my Sicilian friends. And it is, among the people of Sicily, there is some morbid fear that when somebody does their DNA or when somebody does their family history, they're going to find out that they're part black. Like, that's something to be ashamed of?
Well, are you telling me that there's a group of adopted people out there that they know the truth? They know, you know, that obviously the parents that raised them are not their biological parents. And there's some adopted people that they have no interest to know. The one gentleman that called said, you know, my children are the ones that want to know. You know, my kids are the ones that want to know more than I do who my biological family is.
But in the middle of five children, where did everyone go in 80-20, 80-20, 80-20, 80-19-1? Where'd that come from? Where's one come from?
Yeah, I don't know.
Here's what I would say. Probably a statistical anomaly, and I would have a redo done of the test, and I would probably have a redo done by another company. And as I said earlier, there are at least three reputable companies that are doing DNA testing, and that's why I can tell you that I've got cousins in Tibet, I got cousins in Mongolia. I mean, I got some real live dog eaters in my family.
But here's the thing. The Postal Service handles make up a number how many letters a day. Some of those letters, as professional and as competent as that Postal Service is, some letters get lost. There is no company in America that doesn't make mistakes. And when you're messing around with DNA, those mistakes can be pretty serious. By the way, we're hearing about Facebook screwing up 30 million Google's got breaches. What happens when 33andMe, what happens when Heritage.com finds out, uh-oh, we accidentally mixed Roger from Kenmore with Michael from San Bernardino, and it turns out we've ruined your lives, but your parents were very loyal to each other, and this never happened. I mean, we've yet to hear those stories, but they're eventually going to come out. Things screw up. Computers make mistakes. People error. And when that happens, a lot of people, the lawsuits are going to go flying.
You know what else I was thinking, too? Remember the one caller from the last hour who's, the one kid was conceived, St. Patrick's Day party, then the next night the father comes home. Now, the father was an abusive alcoholic. Is that the caller who said that?
I don't know, but there was a couple of abusive alcoholics.
So I'm thinking to myself, you know, we can sit here and condemn the mother, but there's no guarantee that the father didn't sow his own wild oats after his marriage, especially if he was using.
Or maybe the father's an abusive alcoholic because his wife is constantly cheating on him.
Which came first, the chicken or the cheat?
Seriously, though, you never know. We don't. That's why you don't judge. You don't know what people's situation is.
It's like, what do you get when you cross human DNA with goat DNA thrown out of a petting zoo?
Wow. Jim in Orchard Park.
Okay.
Dude, that was that was hilarious. it's like Family Barley's, Guy.
I still don't know what makes you tick. Your finger was hanging over the dump button, getting ready to hang up on Jim from Orchard Park. You would have been if that wasn't funny, Jim. You would have been hung up on. Jim, what an idiot! Don't block Jim from the call. Now Jim is executive producer of the Bowerly and Bellamy
Jim,
show.
That was hilarious. It was like Peter Griffin saying, "Well, I can tell you what a blowhole isn't, and why we can never go to SeaWorld again." That was awesome, dude. I appreciate that.
You got other great people waiting online to get in. I just wanted to give you my update on it.
You'd be shocked.
Okay, thank you very much, Jim. That was pretty cool. Oh, by the way, the guy who wants the individual weather forecast for Wellsville has responded. He has called me an ass. I can't really disagree with that. If I wanted weather for one specific place, I would be inclined to go to WBEN.com and click the weather tab. I'm just saying.
Not if it's 5 pages long. Maybe that's what the problem is.
I'm talking about DNA horror stories and DNA good stories. And I will tell you that there are three companies that I think you should consider using. Yes, do your due diligence online and you will find the companies worth doing business with. And what you will find, again, and the reason I would suggest, if you can afford it, doing all three of the major companies is real simple. The companies have different sample groups. Some companies invest more, for example, in Asia, like Mongolia, Tibet, Ulaanbaatar. I know I kind of was redundant there. And other companies don't. So while all of the DNA tests that I took said, hey, you're like 2, 3, 4% Asian, that was about it. Until the one company said, oh, you're not just Asian, but you're part Mongolian and part Tibetan. That's where your Asian comes from. So there's that. But I would consider multiple companies because, again, there are parts of the world that are a little bit remote to Westerners. And some people, there are people I know who actually are part East Indian ancestry. They got no idea how it got in there. But nonetheless, there they are, 10% East Indian, which would be the Indian subcontinent. But what I think, and to kind of round out this part of the show, where I think the DNA testing is really of benefit, those of us who spent years putting together our family tree on paper and getting the original source documents of births and deaths and baptisms and circumcisions and all those kinds of things, to be able to have scientific, empirical data which echoes the paper trail that you have established over many years is, frankly, reaffirming that you're on the right trail. Because is there anybody out there who at some point in your life hasn't wondered from where you came? And I don't mean mom and dad or the stork. I don't mean that. I mean, you know, where are your deep roots? How did you, the person, end up here in Buffalo, New York, the friendliest city in the entire United States? all of the events that had to come together in order for you to be here. And you also realize your place in history. For example, it is not a stretch to say the reason I'm part Tibetan and Mongolian in all likelihood has to do with the Mongol Empire trying to take over Europe. And it is not too much to think that one of my female ancestors way, way back when was horribly raped by some Mongolian or Tibetan soldier in the service of the emperor, and probably gave birth to a child who had to go through a lot of crap in life. So, you know, we all have these stories, and when you put them in context of the written record and then you add to it the scientific data, it can really fill out your understanding of yourself and from whence you came. And I think it's of value. At the same time, it can also, let's face it, be personally destructive if you find out stuff you would rather not know. Now, I've mentioned a couple of times, Buffalo, friendliest city in America. I think, David, if we're the friendliest city in America, I think we got to figure out where the least friendly people are. And I've got to say, Boston, Massachusetts. Or do we just give Boston the crown just by default?
There's nothing more unfriendly than Boston.
Well, I know
their football fans are throwing beer in the face of other football players.
Yeah, it's horrible. Look at the good news. Sometimes they play in Buffalo and we end up with sex toys thrown on the field.
That was a guy from Boston.
Okay, stay with us.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.